We so appreciate each of you folk who are here this morning. I had many, many telephone calls early this morning asking about the services. And I had several that asked me how to find Jesus, wanted him to reveal in their hearts and their lives. You see, God is doing something so super special in our day. He's proving himself. He hasn't just left us to flounder and wonder what's going to happen, what direction we go. He is here. He's guiding. He's steering. He has created us a great current in his river. And he says, jump in. And the flow of his life. I was so pleased this morning when a young couple about to see me before. I had met them a little over a year and a half ago. We have many visitors here this morning, and many of you have come within the last year and a half. But for those of you that were here a year ago in February, I wonder how many of you remember this trip that I made to Old Orchard, Washington. Seemed like the Lord had opened up and drank. Can I see your hands? And you remember there were endless people that the Lord let me definitely see and know what he was going to do in helping them. Well, we have this morning, the young couple, and the young lady is one of them that the Lord definitely let me see. And the minister to her, all of them are there. Maybe if they'll come up here to the platform, and the indigenous pastor there, and those who need their lives with God. And I just love to have them up here at some minute. And they knew we're a part, that church was a part of something very special. As you recall, God allowed me to see and to know 120 things that he would be doing. And this happened to be, my ministry over there happened to be the second son on the list. I wasn't able to tell them any more over there because, well, I didn't know all was happening either. But at this point, there have been 112 of the 120 things I sent, and God has caused them to happen just in that sequence, the way he said that he was going to do. And there, I'd like to have you say hi to the congregation, and like for you to tell them that you need to tell them what was, just tell them how good it feels to know that the Lord shared that much. And then, praise the Lord. It's good to look out and see some meadow faces. I passed through a church mall of about 35 people, and your chapel off over here is about the size of my auditorium. But it is nice to be with you this morning. We're on vacation. But looking back when Pastor Buck was with us in Port Orchard, it was just exciting to know how God had divinely directed him to our family, to our church family, and to the exciting things God does by divine appointment, and how he directed us together, and how a tremendous miracle took place in our home that really helped our ministry. And we've been pastoring now for just about 5 months, and that miracle was very important before we could take that step out into a full-time ministry on our own. Sharon, would you like to?
I'd like to say I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'd like to say that when Miss Lynn came to our church, your pastor, there was a need in my life that God met that I really didn't know about, and there was the hearing that she taken place. And I don't like saying that it was something in my childhood, and sometimes you think, well, why does God do that to me? Or why in the world did I have to be split in a family like that? And, God just did a beautiful miracle in me. What it showed to me is that he cared so much for me. He sent a man all the way across our state to me. And he met me one day, and God says, this is this girl's problem. And God met me. And it just keeps going on. And God has met me so personally. And I just want to let each one of you know that don't be content just to put aside and ask for the people work. I'm just happy to be a pastor's wife. And I felt God had called me to be a pastor's wife. Well, I kind of helped my husband and my children, raising them. But I didn't realize my ministry And God is now saying, hey, lady, you have a ministry, you know, and I want you to work for me. And even being here, us here this morning, I am not a talker. And God is really just showing me what my ministry is. So don't be content to sit and watch someone else. Be a minister, each one of you.
That's good.
The Lord is going to be blessing other people by that he's ministered to in various parts of the country. I met a man a week and a half ago. The Lord ministered to in over 1,000 miles away. He called. I prayed for him over the telephone. He drove the most beat up old pickup. I didn't think it would go 1,000 miles. But he drove it out to meet me in that prayer flavor of me. Hallelujah. God is doing some things today, letting people know that he's interested in people. He not only is interested in history, he's not only interested in events, he's interested in people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going into the Word of God for just a little while this morning. Something that I feel is so important. And I've chosen to call this message, This is Our Day. This is our day. We must not let it pass us by. It is our day. I notice we have many, many visitors here this morning. Some of you are here. You've heard by taste or heard about the visitation that God has brought to me with angels bringing messages to people from God's heart. And I would like to say that at the gift death, there are some facts of peace with these messages on them. We encourage you to get their $2 apiece, and they have become a blessing. I mentioned in my class this morning of one tape being listened to in a bar or in a saloon. 17 people sat around listening to that tape. One old man that heard us went to the cell phone, called up, Christ the phone. He went back to talk to the others and thought, well, how real deep this was. Great dust. For I know that God is using this message all over the country. Now, I'd like for you to get as many copies as you could use. If you have family members away from God, get a tape, mail it to them. There are somewhere between 400 and 500 of these tapes that are out now across the country. And every time that they're played or listened to, the Spirit of the Lord is there to see that. And that people are informed and they know what's going on. And that God is working, not only where the tapes are, his angels are out there looking all over the country. This will help them to know what had happened. Just a little reminder, and things are happening in our day. The world is experiencing a great renewal. Christian religions are experiencing something that they never thought would happen. Theologians thought that before people could have anything in common or any type of unity, we all have to iron out the differences in their opinions and their thinking. And they try. They would get together and one would give a little tiny bit of ground here and a little width there, and so they could never make everything fit. And as a result, for centuries, different Christian bodies have been separated. God, as much as said, in this way, that his unity would not be a unity of the mind or doctrine. Because even members of a denomination or members of one family may not all think alike. They may not have unity in other opinions. Boy, it sounds a little bit far-fetched to even think that 10 people could all think exactly alike on every little old thing. So the Lord never planned to have these minds all turn into a rubber stamp kind of a machine. Stamp. Everybody giving exactly the same answer for the same words. Why, you don't have anything, man. You play a phonograph and do that, just make a whole bunch of records. And God could have done that. But he'll meet us with our own personalities, our own individualities. We act different, we say things different, we think different. But what God had planned was that we have a oneness spirit. And he's doing it. I'd like to see how many of you folk out here this morning have some Catholic background. Did I see your hand? Pick them up. I want you all to turn around. Look at those hands. All over the place. Up the balcony. And yes, there. Catholic aren't used to sitting in balconies. We're all right down here. All right. A whole lot of hands went up. Probably 30. How many of you folks are surrounded by LDS background? Slashing your hands. Another bunch. Okay? How many from Lutheran background? Well, they're steadily Lutheran. Some of them sit up in the balcony. How about Methodist? Do we have anybody from Florida? Look at all the Methodists around here. And all the Christians have Methodists. What about Nazarene? Are there any Nazarenes around? For all because a lot of Nazarenes, too. Quakers? Aren't Quakers in the area, friend? Can I see your hand? A lot of friends are not as Quakers here this morning. Well, oh, there's some right back. Okay. Did I forget anything? Are there any Baptists here?
Hey, look around. Hey, this.
I didn't know that it was a Baptist church. You've not gotten the wrong one this morning. No Baptists in anything so far. What about Christian church people? Bunch of you. Well, let's see. I think I've run two of them all, haven't I? I think I missed. What? Presbyterian. Why is there Presbyterian? Oh, see, there's another group that begins with peace.
Pentecostal. Hey, Pentecostal people there.
You have Pentecostal backgrounds anyway. Oh, okay. I just kind of wanted you to see. There's a beautiful oneness. Did you sense the oneness of spirit while prayer was being made and in the Psalms? You didn't know that you were sitting next to somebody that was a totally different faith. Why, a year or so ago, why, you would have gotten out. So the Bible on you would have tried to prove that person. Now, how wrong you are, that person would have stood, no, you're wrong, and the wall would have been there, and there would have been no speaking, no friendship at all. Wars have been fought over the fact that people think differently. Not on worse things, but differently on religion. Did you know that many, many of the wars were religious wars? People fought different. And there's a lot of war that have been got all to run on without one being fired, even in modern days, over religion. But thank God. He is doing something special. Hallelujah. He's bypassing what's up in here. He said, don't make a whole lot of difference anyway. And he's giving a oneness of the Spirit. We're one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. God is doing it. Bringing people into the big family of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where we can strengthen, we can support each other. We can work together. We can link arms together. And it will happen. We are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can let the world know that Jesus lives. And Jesus said, by this will all people know you're my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say, if you think alike. Is that right? But if you love for him, praise God, brother. So, very special day is upon us. It's a day of ministries of the Spirit in daily operation by the body of Christ, not by a certain fixed individual, but as a Spirit mirrors and it sees the needs and people are available. God is using men and women. It's a special day of visitation. In Luke 19, verses 41 to 44, Jesus spoke of a special visitation that Jerusalem and the people of that day experienced. But he said he wept as he looked over Jerusalem. And the reason why there were tears, divine tears that were shed, they didn't know the day of their visitation. They didn't recognize. He's crying out, if only you would have known it in this your day, the things, the time of your visitation, if you only would have known the things that were important, the things that would bring peace to your heart, but you didn't know. And there's coming a time when they're hidden in your eyes. I feel that God today, he's bringing to us a beautiful visitation. This is a day of visitation. And I'm glad that today, as he looks over the world, at this point, who is not seeing, it's hidden from your eyes. But across the world, the cry has gone out, thank you, God, for visiting us. And I'm sure that you would hear, if you could somehow hear the choirs of angels sing, it would be the world in responding to God's visitation. Hallelujah. That's why you're here this morning. You know the world is being visited. Praise God. By great revivals, thy visitory from heaven. I have so many people ask me, how come in the supposed God arrived and will do witness visitor from heaven? And at least some may not be aware of what I'm speaking about. As strange as it may seem, God has allowed angelic beings to visit for me just in recent days, the latest being just a week, 2 weeks ago this morning. That may sound a little out of the way. Isn't you've really been visited? The important thing is that you have been visited and are being visited. What's happened to me is not an unusual thing. It's just that the Lord allowed me to see what was happening and let me know that what was happening there, it's happening with every one of you. The rest of the time, we'll never know, we'll never see, but it's there, the presence of God. For he did say to his angels, he sent them forth, and he still takes charge of those people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord camp around about those that fear him. God is bringing messages to the world in many, many ways. The Spirit of God that dwells within your heart is the controlling center. The Spirit of the Lord himself is the one that controls all of these other great experiences. So don't turn your eye into the life of Jesus and say, he must not let me. He hasn't let me see an angelic being. Do you know something? You have within your heart the personage far greater than all the angels put together. Greater is he that is in you, the Spirit of it. An angel cannot visit with you. An angel cannot stay by you. That angel, that angel, or at least stay visible for you, only as ordered by God. But Jesus will never leave you, nor forsake you. Would I stand by you? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for these perspectives that these angels have given me of how great Jesus really is. This last visit, he said that the function, the purpose, their highest purpose or work, regardless of what their function was in God's order, in God's program, all of them have the same highest purpose, and that is, at the name of Jesus, they all have to bow. At the name of Jesus, worship is their highest purpose. Worship. Hallelujah. And to me, I'm presenting it to you, Jesus is in a position of honor and of glory by things in this earth, things in heaven, all creation. Jesus is ascending into a point and a place where in the very, very near future, all everything is going to be turned over to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Or they said, I'm your friend. I'll stand by you. He's yours. Praise God. I want you to know where this is, a day of visitation, special visitation by God, and in various ways that he would come. Now, my purpose of this message today has three main directions, three main objectives. One, to point to an open door of hope to you who are searching. I know there are many here today who are searching. You're longing. You're fed up with religionistic, but your heart is longing for God. You're reaching for him. And God wants you to know that he is in control, that he loves you, that he wants you, that he has room for you. And God has added another little clause to this message that he makes part of my life. And that is that he has come looking for you. And even another little pigtail on that he will not let you dwell. You need to yank away and head in your direction, but God wants you. God loves you. And I'm not concerned about people. This is our day of visitation. God's angels right now are sent forth into the world to do a very special job, though. And that is to reach men and women everywhere and to not listen to their objections, but to bring them to a point of choice. And if they refuse to make the right choice, God isn't looking for some reason to cut you off and to throw you away. He begins the cycle all over again. Hallelujah, to bring you that point of choice. If you refuse, he'll begin it again. He is not trying to prove something to you. He's not wanting to be able to just fulfill his obligation, saying, I gave you a chance. He'll give you 1,000 chances if you will just give him that opportunity to help you. When I was in Toppenish, I got out of my sister's car and stepped in the west of the parking lot of the little motel. It was the finest motel. It was the Hilton, I think, my little town. They had two. And this one was far more first class than the other one. But I looked around and I I don't know if I say it to my sister or to myself or it just escaped. But I said, what in the world are you doing here? I said to myself, what am I doing here? I could think of people that wanted me to minister to them and pray with them. I had the whole afternoon there and didn't know anybody. And I felt like I was wasting a whole half a day. There I was in the little place. I didn't have a car. I was a long way from the church, and there was another little motel. So I went into the motel, and I said, well, there wasn't much else to do. I don't think anybody will mind in particular. Nobody knows I'm here. I'll take a nap. And I had a rare nap. I went to sleep for a little while. I didn't know for sure why. I felt a remnant from the Lord when that man called me to come over there. And I didn't know why. I had received calls at several quite large conventions, and I just didn't feel any green light at all. I said, no, we don't want to go. And here, somebody said, well, how come? If you're green to go out, how come you didn't go? You should have a wider ministry. I went to a little place where the pastor stood there, in their regular services, there was not over 40 people at a time. Their Sunday school runs about 80. But the church services, about 40. But early Saturday morning, I knew I wanted there. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Went out and did a little bit of jogging. I just kind of felt like something, you know, some reason for it. Lord was with me. And it was all real precious that early in the morning. I met a man out there who was wanted to get his dog back into his car before the motel man even found out he had sneaked it into the motel. And I mean, since he had a dog, well, I thought he couldn't be all bad. I went that with him. Then he went back to the motel. I went back in, showered, came back out about 6 o'clock. He came back out. And so I felt, well, there's got to be a reason here. I like to feel, and I lay myself before God for this reason, that things don't just happen by accident. There's a reason why. That I'm up this early, he's up this early, and that he's here, I can talk to him about Jesus. So I went over, and we talked about how wonderful it was early in the morning, and just make you feel good to be alive, and so on. And so I said, well, besides that, it just makes Jesus a little bit closer to us. And I said the wrong thing when I said the word Jesus. He told me he was a Jew, and that when Jesus didn't really, it wasn't his favorite subject. But it opened up the door for me to talk to him. So I told him when I was not there by accident that things didn't get to happen. We were talking there by divine appointment. God was interested in him and that he would not in that motel by accident. I said, you're here because God brought you here. And I explained to him what God was doing, that because of relatives that really loved God, the angels were out there. I said, they're bringing people to a point of choice. And I asked him, I said, do you have any relatives that know God? And he said, I have a bloody sister that has gone haywire on religion. And she's trying to talk to me. And he said, I refuse to let her talk to me anymore. She just absolutely, he said, she's not like you. I didn't tell him this out loud, but in my heart, well, she's probably just exactly like me. Right. But he said, I won't listen to her. I said, because of this nutty sister of yours, we're highly favoring God. That's why you're here. That's why I'm in here. And then he was a little thoughtful, and he said, you know, Maybe there is something to it. I haven't told anybody, but you see, I have been thinking about God, but I didn't know who to talk to. It's again because there's no way to get in off that. It's right on the freeway, and there's fences up. You have to go way down to what they call a frontage road and turn off, and it's easy to miss that and then drive way back. And he said, when I was driving across there and driving up to this place, I kept asking myself, what's the matter? Were you seeing a fence like this? And then he's heard his designer, his matter of fact, is in there. Past this next place, it looks so strange sitting out in front of us, kind of because it's last. I said, well, you ain't looking this hard. Can't just like Jesus. Well, look at that. He still didn't know. And I own where it looks five hundred restaurants across in the United States. He told that. It's sort of, I feel so shivered inside. That's God has done for me. It's got to find some ways to snare out of these people. He said, when they get back to my central office, I'm sending them their jobs off, having them about Jesus. Great heaven, some of the things he told me, God's doing. Hallelujah. I need to run out and I stand out of the air. How do you know? Well,
I feel that the road had several things. I feel the writing there was around what it went and what it was showing that God was in it. But the, that's writing, that's man. There already shipped him with me and told me his name. I told you 112 of those things that John has given me were fulfilled. It was only 111 at that point. But when he told me his name was James Andrews, that was him, and Paul. You see, God is, can you see the timing of God putting things together? I learned there was three heavens over there. And that man, I never rushed by. You see, God put it all together. Wow, what this. She was praying, and now the man in Brazil, 500 eating places, and all their employees are going to hear about how their last shoes, the son of Abraham, has turned his right over to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Very gone. Hallelujah.
There is God. Where is God?
See, God is doing it. God is working. Every race that's the family of Brother God, as you said here today, you know, are so important, and things that are happening in your life aren't just happening. God is doing it. God is putting it together. God. I mean, God doing it for just running denomination, run individual, run church.
God is working with seat with the day, giving him a job to do it. This is our day. Every generation has had a special rule of God. I should think of at least a number of special rules in my lifetime. But I can have looked back and down through history, last century, there have been special revivals under them that God has raised up. But the revival that God brings of the world today is different and more far-reaching than any revival the world has ever known. It's not because of great individuals that God is raising them. It's because of believers who embrace the body of Christ, who are becoming God's eyes, who are taking on the likeness of Jesus. Because of his word and for the Lord have all the reading. So Colossians last night. I read it over again. If I could, and I read that her chapter, I could see how God was better for us was that we look to the world just like Jesus looked to the world. In a smile. It is open heart. But we that we represent Jesus.
They don't see him. They see us.
Right now, see the verses in John. You can jot these. All that I'm getting here is the word meat place. I haven't read a lot here to you. That's what God put in my heart. I'm going to dump it out of you in this way. It's John 20. There. Verse 21. He tells us about the divine commission that he's given to us. He said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going out just like I went out with the same job that I had. That was his commission. It was his power. Acts 1:8. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. But he said, I am surrounding you with the promise of my Father, the final. You'll be in general for my name after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm giving you my worth. I'm giving you my power. Then he gets done. Then he said, I give you my authority. John 20, 23, he tells about the authority of his name. That's something else. With what God is doing today, with all of these angels at work bringing people to the door, to a point of a choice in the decision, right, become the door. We test it readily that Jesus is the door, but Jesus says, you are in the door. As my Father sent me out here to be the door, I'm sending you out to be the door. The door really rises to God's heart. So these angels are going to be bringing people across your pathway. Don't hesitate. It'd be alert. So that, as the Spirit said, amen. Hallelujah. The angels aren't going to push them through the door. Best they don't mind you. You have a job, we'll do. Just a minute. And, you know, in order to finish this work, God is doing. And I believe a very special thing is happening in our day. You, as individuals, are being appointed as God's representative. Representing Jesus, letting the world see Jesus in you, letting them feel his compassion, his love, his heartbeat. Love you. Not even let these people know, but that you're meeting with them and talking with them is not accidental. Take your hand. You have authority. I'm going to tell you something that has been really sought utterance for a long, long time. But if God's telling you to stop service, he needs you to love more about it. Unless, if you would like to turn to John the 20th chapter, I'm going to dismiss in just a moment or two. And I want you to see this as a puncher today. And the fact that God has opened a door of ministry for us today. And our people all over, they're saying, I want to be used of God. I want definitely to be used of them. And here is the way. You are going to be used of him. You're going to be the door. You're going to be the word made flesh. You're going to be the river of water. John 7:37, he said that the water that God gives would be a river flowing out of you to other people who need God. The branch-giving water that they so definitely need. Now, if you have your Bibles open to that, there are some things that Jesus said that he gives you. And that with these things, then you can represent him and his authority. Amen. Verse 19, the last phrase. He said, there's my peace. And this peace is where you're for your life.
Then he's going to be able to share.
Then he said, amen. So his angel had a chance to see him. Their eyes got a glimpse of him. Grace the brother, and they were gladdened. They didn't have an experience that was sour and present to them bitter, or as an experience that was dead and cold. But there was gladness. The disciples were glad. Now he said, because you have a peace, because you can get bright and happy by what has happened to you. Then he said, I'm going to send you out to take my job. And then he breathed on them and said, turn to my spirit now to do the job and to quench it. And then comes verse 23.
where he gives you this authority. This authority does not come to people who know the Bible by heart, who are able to give you the meanings of words and how it seemingly are mapped out. No. It's the first who has seen Jesus and are glad and have his peace. They are experiencing the very reality of his life. And the rulers going out from there. Those rooms are where he's meeting. And people are finding God today, all over the country, by people who may not know very much about the Bible, but they know Jesus. You see, they know Jesus. And so this, this isn't this minimizing the value of the Word. This Word is so important in our hearts and minds. But it is not the thing that would give you this authority. There are theologians all over the country that don't have any authority to tell a person your sins are forgiven. They don't have it because it seems not all theologians. I mean, they're asked them, well, do they have a Bible? But they can't. They can quote somebody else. They can't speak to this authority. And the difference between Jesus and the scribe of his day, it said, he spoke not to the scribe, but he spoke without having authority. There's a lot of difference between having authority. I want you to know him. And you have that peace. And what you're talking about is a real experience you can share it with others. And he's around what you tell. Believe that? Praise God. Now, when you know him, here is your authority. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Unto them. How to tell you. When you see that person open their hearts to Jesus, and simply to remedy them that, you can tell them with authority, your sins are gone. Jesus said that. How were those that they were not for a sequel? Last of the RLG that said, hey, if you better not say that. They should have left it out of the Bible as I admit that. It's narrow. There. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. When you see someone that's stubbornly resisting God, by the same token, you can say, Your sins are still with you. Whosoever sins you retain, they retain. God does not back you up because you know Jesus. Paul's like, yeah, praise God. It doesn't mean that everything will be retained forever. It means that that person can't go their way and say, well, I'm going to get into heaven just like anybody else. If they don't, they've got to have Jesus. When you've given them God's plans, God's direction, God's way, and they accept your way, you can see them God's word. Hallelujah. You represent him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. He said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Letting him, your sin is out. Now, he said, that he's in us, giving us the same ministry. So we can reach out people and get it over their hand. We reach out and get over God's hand. We can fill them together. Notice in those two verses there, he tells first, he's giving them the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. The word is, they give them come now. God says a lot of stubborn people don't want to come. Heck, I will help. So he gives us a ministry of reconciliation. He says, get money, push it, fill them, get them in there, and throw there, and they go. It's a ministry of reconciliation. What he's telling you is, and you might mark it down in the margin, he's telling you that he has given you the right to make it happen. Will you accept that? You can make it happen. Because you're with it. You can make it happen. You can have that person right into it. I want you to tell it. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. So this is our day. Beautiful day. A day of service and a beautiful day of opportunity open for every one of us. And it's common characteristics of every revival.
has been one of praising, but really back into hundreds of years before Christ was born. Go back in Second Chronicles while reading about the revival there and certain revivals, but they were made up of praise. If people praise the Lord, they stir the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, because God cared for them, because he had opened his arms and his heart, and always the praise, the nervous praise was this, for his mercy and endurance. That's what he's saying to you now. My mercy is extended to you. You may not have met all the conditions. You may not have met any of them. Well, you need help to battle. My grace, my mercy is extended to you. Let's just bow our hearts before the Lord right now. Praise God. Father, we thank you that you have given us the right to be your representatives. I had a mistake. In most revival, you have made only one of your delivery, your evangelist. Your word has always said this, but you're doing it today. And they're feeling with call, and they're being sent. So he who works, and we thank you for this. Praise God. Praise God. Believe me, little Lord. Something special. It's in the air. Something is we don't have all the details. We know something is happening. While your heads are bowed, I feel so strongly impressed to tell you the feeling that God would put in my heart. That details of this kind of revival of God is bringing today. Brent could be the last divine. For the last generation. It would be. I had many people ask me, did the birth angels that minister to you say anything about the return of Christ? And the first time they met it with me, I didn't ask them, and they didn't say. But 2 weeks ago this morning, I would look the entire night till 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll think. And I asked them, is there anything that you could plumb that would encourage people with regard to the return of Christ? There's so many ideas that people may have that would hold them apart or blast out these truths. This man you said, I can't tell you the exact kind. Because I don't know. But he said, I will tell you this, that he held absorbed in the courts of heaven greater excitement and greater activity than he had witnessed at any time since Jesus came the first time. I thought of it when he raptured right there. He said the excitement is building up in the court of heaven. Hallelujah. Well, something's going to happen, which is really the most petty little arguments we have. Differences, barriers, or for our hearts to Jesus, let him use us, be it there on the job as he brings people to us. Forget about little things that you don't like, about serving the Lord. And open your heart and expose yourself to the mighty role he's doing. Hallelujah. And let the world see the gladness and the joy, the fact that you have met Jesus. that he has breathed into your life, and there's a freshness there of his touch in your life. Yes, the world, see. Praise God. Let me just stand right now. It's going to make it easier for some people to get out and to come down here. But I know that today there are people here that have their hearts are saying, this is really belonging for. I want God. I want that reality. I want God to know it. I'm going to offer myself to him for service or for giving your life to him the first time. It makes little difference when God speaks to our heart. But answer him. Give ourselves to him. So I'm going to open right now while the organ is playing softly. I'm going to ask you to make your way out from those seats wherever you are. If you need Jesus in your life, and today you're saying, Lord, I accept. I'm making my choice. It doesn't have to be a big, involved thing. It's a matter of letting him know. And then if you also feel like, I thank God for this privilege of being a part of this great last day of ministry, I want you also to let him know about that. While the organ is playing, would you come right now? Don't hesitate. Let's have a time here that the angels will rejoice with us about. For they're here. This room is filled with angels this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. God. Some of you ought to be running down this front as fast as you can run. You fool around, you ask God, God, isn't there some way I can serve you? This morning, God opens the way door just as wide as he can open it. Why don't you just run now in dedication and say, God, here I am. Thanks for the privilege. Thanks for the opportunity. Obey God.